Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone goes through trying times. The joy comes in the morning. And even when it seems hard to find, He gives us peace for you and me.
Be thankful for everything.
And in everything, count it all.
Got a new song on this morning, Count It All Joy, and certainly you're going to see why that song was so valuable and important on this morning. Welcome again. Good morning. It's October the 14th, 2023. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge of our life and living it to the fullness. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly we honor our co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, in her lessons and her assistance in putting this platform on. We have a spirit-filled show. Let's get into it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. First of all, we start with announcements. I want to say happy birthday to our co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, who is celebrating her 60th birthday, and that is a plateau. And certainly send her well wishes, and those of you that know her, just say happy birthday, co-host. Praise the Lord for her. I want to also say consider donating to this ministry. Consider giving a seed offering. Certainly, we are going to have to take this ministry to the next plateau in 2024. We are going to have to extend this show, and certainly I need your support and your financial backing to do that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, everyone out there in radio land, I decree blessings to you on this morning. for the continuing months of 2023. We are in the harvest time months, and certainly God has got a blessing for us. If you want anything, or if you let me know how we're doing. So give me a text. Let me know how you enjoyed the lesson. My telephone number, my cell phone number is 309-750-7584. And, of course, we are on the line at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. You can hear me or my co-hosts going forth with the Word of God to help and to assist you. And certainly, if you want me to text you that link, because you can always go back and listen to this lesson. And if you don't go back and listen to any other lesson, you need to listen to this one. Give me a text, 309-750-7584, and I will text you this link. Okay, let's get into this lesson. Have you ever experienced depression? If you have, you know how dark clouds can roll in on you. Everything around you starts getting darker and darker. If you allow yourself to be engulfed in darkness, it will surround you. But thank God, the Lord has made a way for you to climb out from under those dark clouds. We have a word on today that will lift the spirit of depression. The word will illuminate your heart. It will lift you to a greater level in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It will end our suffering. Not that we're not going to go through, but it will help us go through the suffering. Ain't going to end it, but when you go through it, praise God, you'll feel the help of God. We will take you on a journey. To greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus Christ as we set the pace for victory. We are binding the of sadness and depression this morning. So the theme of the month for October is harvest time. And for the second week in October, we are climbing out from under a dark cloud. Let's get into the word, shall we? We're going to Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I want to go to Nehemiah 8 and 10. If you don't mind, we're going to read a couple of more verses. Then he said to them, go your way and eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Proverbs 17 and 22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Acts 20 and 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Psalms 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And this is the last scripture for this, I always give you more scripture. Psalms 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. If you haven't gotten the clue yet, we're talking about joy. And I want to define joy. Joy is the definition, is the emotion invoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by prosper, or processing what one desires. This the expression of emotions, the state of happiness, the source or the cause of our delight. And certainly when you look at joy, it could be a verb. And anybody know, if we go back in grammar school, we know that a verb is an action word. It's doing something. So when you put that verb in action, it means the experience, to experience great pleasure or delight. And another synonym for that is rejoice. How many feel like they want to rejoice in the Lord on this morning? So let me give you some history of the text on this morning. So when we look at Isaiah means Jehovah is salvation, or the salvation of Jehovah. He was the son of Amos. He had a vision which constituted the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a Hebrew prophet who believed to have lived over 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Born in Jerusalem, Israel, he was said to have found his calling as a prophet when he saw the vision in the year of King Uzziah, the year of the king Uzziah's death. Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So the book of Isaiah is the first of 17 Old Testament prophetic books. Isaiah was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. He was one of Jerusalem's most profound or prominent citizens, having access to both the royal family and the priestly leadership. His life and prophetic ministry ruled over several kings. Isaiah has sometimes been called the Old Testament book gospel because of its Mosaic inferences. The vision and the language is majestic, and because God's people were so deep in sin and civil confusion, they faced judgment, and it was described in chapters 1 through 39. However, God promised to deliver his people by sending a Messiah to reign in peace and righteousness, and that is described in chapters 14 through 66. I want to focus on a little bit about Isaiah, the chapter 61. And I want to talk about those three verses, if you allow me. And when you look at 61, and you look at verses 1 through 2, it predicts that the Messiah would heal those with a broken heart, and it will liberate spiritual captivity and prisoners. God chose one who would announce a great grace to a desperate humanity as an expression of his compassion. And I don't know if you out there know, we're living in a desperate society now. We need God's compassion and his love more now than any other time. From the beginning of his ministry, Jesus said that his purpose was to seek out the lost. And he centered it on restoration to them that were lost, to develop that relationship with the Father. Jesus quoted Isaiah 61, and this substantiated his claim to being the Messiah, and he restated the purpose of his life and ministry. Jesus came to heal, to teach, to minister, to serve, and all of this revealed his compassion and the character of God. Joy, unspeakable joy, full of favor, joy, joy, joy. Mm-hmm. When we look at the oil of joy in verse 3, God's love and understanding reached out to those who are depressed and discouraged. He promised to give consolation and beauty in the place of ashes, the oil of joy in place of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes we've got to put on that garment of praise when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Bible says he will develop a standard. But, you know, we have to put on a regiment of praise and joy and make that part of our arsenal to give God the glory, to give God the praise. Mm-hmm. Joy, joy, joy. The Bible recognizes the heaviness of depression. God's word brings hope, encouragement to those who are weighed down. And God stands with those who struggle. He brings relief and restoration. God promises that he will bring restoration. Mm-hmm. That he may be glorified. So when we look at joy, the Bible says that joy is a gift to those who belong to Jesus. It's a gift, y'all. It's a gift. Joy is given by God to his followers. Mm-hmm. Don't put off your joy. Sometimes we feel weighed down. We feel the spirit of heaviness. And instead of getting a song like the one I played, Coming In, Count It All Joy, we allow this stuff to manifest itself, and we hang our heads down. But God is saying on this morning, we're going to lift them up and have joy, no matter what circumstances or no what matter what situation that we find ourselves in, we're going to find some joy. Mm-hmm. We're going to find some joy. He said, may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful, Psalms 68:3. The Bible shows that joy increases because of our increasing relationship with God. He didn't say we weren't going to go through. He didn't say we weren't going to have to fight. But he says that I've got some joy for you. If you just plug in and just praise me, I've got some joy. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was born, the angels announced good tidings of great joy. All who found Jesus knew with the shepherds of the nativity the joy he brings. Even before his birth, Jesus had brought joy as attested in Mary's song. Mm-hmm. If you want the scriptures, just give me a text and I'll give you the scriptures. Everything is based on scriptures, and I got a scripture. And by John's response to hearing Mary's voice as if he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. I want to know, can you leap for joy? If I opened up the screen on this morning, can you leap in your homes wherever you may be? Can you leap for joy and say, thank you, God, for waking me up this morning? Thank you, God, for allowing me the activities of my limbs. I may not have everything I want to have, but I thank God for giving me the victory, and therefore I can wake up and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Oh, Jesus, I done got carried away, y'all. Mm-hmm. Jesus exemplified joy in his ministry. He was so on it that his enemies accused him of being too joyful on occasion. Can your enemy say you're too joyful? Why are you so happy? You're going through everything that you're going through. Tell them, I'm just trying to be like Jesus, baby. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. I'm just trying to exemplify and show my joy. I know my Father's going to open up a way. He's going to do something for me. I'm just waiting on it until I get my victory, until it's manifested in my presence. I know it's been manifested in the spirit. Oh, but I thank God and I'm praising him because I'm walking and I'm having joy on the journey. Jesus described himself as a bridegroom enjoying a wedding feast. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He spoke of my joy. Oh, can you speak of it, your joy? And that's John 15 and 11, my joy. Mm-hmm. My joy in the Lord. And he promised to give his disciples a lifetime supply of it. Are you his disciple? John 16 and 24. He promised, and as disciples of the King, as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's promised, and we can stand on all the promises given in the Bible. Joy is reflected in many of Jesus' parables, including the three stories in Luke, the 15th chapter, which mentions rejoicing in the presence of the angels and ends with a joyful shepherd and a joyful woman and a joyful father. Nehemiah told the repentant Israelites that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. The early church was characterized by gladness and the joy of the Lord. And in joy in the Holy Spirit is a distinguishing mark of the kingdom of God. Those who are part of the kingdom share in the kingdom's delight. Mm-hmm. Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, it is our believers' duty to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 3 and 1, 4 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. In Christ, the believer is filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. 1 Peter 1 and 8. Because of its supernatural origin. Now, in the last 2 weeks beforehand, we were talking about spirits and we've been often talking about tapping in and what's going on and the spirits that's ruling in our society now because the Lord is on his way back. And here is something. You never put joy with the fact that it has a supernatural origin, meaning that this is a spiritual thing, that this is something we're tapping into something, a gift, a fruit that God has given to us that we tap in. And our praise also is a weapon. Mm-hmm. Because of its supernatural origin, the joy of the Lord, our gladness of heart, is present even through the trials of life. Not saying we're not going to go through, but we have the weapons to go through. We know we are children of God and no one can snatch us away from him. We are heirs to an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. And no one can steal it from us. We see the author and the finisher of our faith and let the enemies rage ever so much. We are winners in the end. They can't touch us. Is the victory that overcomes the world. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Adverse circumstances, instead of hindering our faith, can actually enhance our joy. Paul and Silas knew adversity, as they sat with their feet in shackles in a Philippian jail cell. Their legal rights had been violated. They had been arrested without cause and beaten without a trial. At midnight, y'all know the story. At midnight, they couldn't sleep. So what they start doing, they start singing the praises of the Lord. They start magnifying the Lord in song. And all of a sudden, y'all know it, go read it, a miracle happened. A miracle happened. Mm-hmm. So when we get into our praise, when we count it all joy, a miracle happens. Our mindset changes. Mm-hmm. God comes in, and we find the strength that we didn't have before. You know, joy and depression and sadness can't stay in one mindset at the same time. It's either one or the other. So if I choose to have joy, I can get alleviate my feelings of sadness. I can alleviate my feelings of depression because I'm opening up my mouth and I'm pressing in. I'm pressing into my joy. I'm pressing in to open up my mouth and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I'm giving you the glory. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I magnify you. God, you've done it for me in the past, and I know you're going to do it again. See, y'all messing with me. That's what y'all doing. The apostles in Jerusalem were arrested twice and ordered not to preach in the name of Jesus. And the second time they faced the court, they were beaten. But it didn't unfringe them. They returned home rejoicing, counting it worthy to be beaten for the name of our Lord and Jesus Christ. They were examples of our example of the Lord, an example of the Lord and joy to endure the cross, scoring its shame. Mm-hmm. Now, the spirit production of joy can be manifested in several different ways. Praise God. I'm doing pretty good. Romans 14 and 7 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to back up. The Greek word for joy is kaira. Joy is a supernatural reaction to the work of God. Whether promised or fulfilled, joy expresses God's kingdom, his influence, and his influence on earth. Romans 7:14-17. And again, if you want these scriptures, I certainly can text them to you. So when I said that it's a supernatural thing, when you further come and I tell you kaira, the Greek word for joy, you begin to understand that it's an expression of God's kingdom. So what Satan tries to do, that he wants to do, he wants to distract you. And this is a time of several distractions. We have distractions every day. First of all, we can look at society. When we look at television, when we look at the news, when we look at what's going on, there are many distractions to take our focus off God and the joy of the Lord. So in essence, what Satan does, he tries to get you sad and upset and tell you that God is not in control. But I want to let you know, I want to give witness and attest to that God is still in control. And when we've been talking about spirits and we've been talking about the kingdom of God, because God is literally on his way back. The Bible says that these things that you're seeing around you will occur. Look at the desolation in Israel. You see all that. You see everything that's going on, murders, the violence, and the famine. And these things are going on now. But I'm here to let you know the church is still here. The church have not gotten out of here yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are still living in the last church age. So we're still here. And as people as a church, as believers, we have got to count it all joy. We have got to take up the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness, because Satan wants to keep us down. The Bible says even the elect will scarcely make it in. And as you see, there is an all-out attack on us and those that want to come into the kingdom, because Satan knows that his time is winding up. So when we look at this joy thing, when we look at joy, the oil of joy, when we look at joy, the word joy, and we talk about the fact that it has a supernatural effect, and because it has a supernatural effect, it has physical manifestations. I'm going to say that again. Because it has a supernatural effect. And what do you mean, Dr. Carey, about a supernatural effect? It goes into what you can't see. It goes into the realm of the spirit. It goes into the spiritual aspect of what we're fighting. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 3, in Ephesians 6, and I think it's chapter verse 12, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities. So we are in spiritual warfare. So here is joy, a supernatural, a fruit that goes into the supernatural to give you manifestations in the flesh. So how can something that goes into the supernatural and then comes out on the other side and you have strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So in essence, we gain strength because it's God's fruit and it's God's weapon for us to use. It says again, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read Romans 14 and 17 again. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not physical, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So God is letting us know that for us to have that true oil of joy, we've got to have the Spirit of God living on the inside. Matter of fact, it's one of God, the Holy Spirit's characteristics, and it's and his. It's not an it, it's a his fruit. Now, the spirit production of joy can be manifested in several ways, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to wrap up, and we're going to pray. The joy of deliverance. When God sets someone free, rejoicing is in order. 1 Samuel 2 and 1, you can read about Hannah. Acts 12 and 14, the servant girl who was overjoyed that Peter had been rescued from prison. She was so overjoyed, she saw him and she shut the door. The salvation, the joy of salvation. Hallelujah. Our greatest reason to be joyful in what God wants, because he wants to save us and spend eternity with us. Nothing is better than that. And certainly I want to take this time to give a shout out and pray for the family of Mother Vern Oliver Price, who's gone up to be from labor to reward. We thank God for her life, such a phenomenal singer. Praise God, and even a phenomenal saint. Hallelujah. So when we look at this, we look at Acts 8 and 8. The people of Samaria were joyful as they heard the gospel and saw God's power in healing the sick. Acts 13, Jewish believers rejoiced when they heard the works of the Holy Spirit and saving Gentiles. The joy of spiritual maturity. So when we praise God, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit works to bear fruit in us. We become confident in God's promises, and we rejoice in our walk with him and with other believers. John 15 and 11, the fullness of joy comes to those who continue to love Christ and obey him. 2 Corinthians 1, 24. 2, 3, 7, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 through 20. Verses chapter 3 and 9. Paul knew joy as the church gave evidence of the Holy Spirit working among them. Mm-hmm. Philippians 2 and 2. Hebrews 10 and 34. Believers following the example of Jesus endured persecution because of the promise of future joy. And I want you to read Hebrews 10, 32 to 34. I'm trying to get everything in this morning, so I'm not going to be able to read it. Then the joy of God's presence. I want to say that again, y'all. The joy of God's presence. The Holy Spirit draws us to God, in whose presence we can know true joy. Without the Holy Spirit, no one can seek God. Psalms 16 and 11. You will fill me with joy in your presence, the eternal pleasures at your right hand. We have joy because of God's grace. The next step in the progression is to allow our joy to become an act of expression. Although sometimes joy can be greatly impressionable, but we are to have great joy. Possessing joy is a choice. We choose whether to value God's presence and promise and work in our lives. And I want to say that again. Possessing joy is a choice. We choose whether to value God's presence, promise, and work in our lives. When we yield to the Spirit, he opens up our eyes to God's grace around us and fills us with joy. Romans 15 and 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confidence, hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is not to be found in a fallen world. Joy is not to be found in a fallen world. It is only fellowship with God that can make our joy complete. 1 John verse 1, verses 3 through 4. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. In conclusion, the joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. We understand and we know and we must access that joy. We have to press in. As believers, we have to believe. We have to press in to what our hearts and our minds don't feel sometimes, because we have to praise and magnify God. And, you know, sometimes you may have to put on one of them old songs, and you have to count it all joy. I was coming on this morning and listening to that song, Count It All Joy. I made it over, Count It All Joy. One, two, three, I counted all joy. And I thank God for his goodness, because you can hear those sounds, those songs, and you realize joy bells keep ringing in my soul. Joy bells, joy bells. And certainly when it comes to songs, I remember bits and pieces of a song. But the premise is this, that sometimes we need a little push to get us in the joy mood. We need a little push to get us where we need to be. And sometimes things in society, circumstances, situations, what we're going through, the death of a loved one, financial struggles, gas prices going up, what we see on the news, do we drive at night, do we not drive at night, all the violence, they're shooting people, they're taking cars. But we still have joy in all of that. In the midst of everything that's going on, I still have joy. And I choose to tap into the gift that God has given to me. So sometimes I've got to turn my radio on and count it all joy and say, God, I praise you. God, I magnify you. God, I lift you up. I'm struggling right now. But God, because I can open up my mouth and praise you, oh, I believe that you will give me the oil of joy for this spirit of heaviness that's trying to overtake me. Oh, because you know me, you understand me, you love me enough to send your son, and therefore I just want to lift up my hands and my house, and I just want to praise your name. I want to give you the glory. I want to give you the honor. I want to open up my mouth wide and say, thank you, Lord. Be like Paul and Silas. Praise you, God. I magnify you. I thank you. I worship you. And you do that about 5 minutes straight, you'll find yourself coming out of whatever spirit that's trying to overtake you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for each and every one that's on the line on this morning. I pray that everyone was able to hear your word. And God, you gave them a word of joy on this morning. Joy, unspeakable joy. Joy, 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 joy. I pray, God, and I decree joy to each and every one that's on this line this morning. Whatever struggle, whatever situation they may find themselves in, I pray the joy. I pray that you'll give them the oil of joy for that spirit of heaviness and the garment of praise. Ha 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 ha. Praise, praise, praise. Shout it out. There's a bottle of shout you put on your clothes. But God, I thank you, God, that we can shout it out. We can shout it out. We can praise your name. We can give you the glory. We can give you the honor. And Father God, I pray for each and every one on this line this morning, God. I pray, God, that you heal, deliver, and set free. I pray, God, for our co-host, God. Strengthen her, God. Oh, in her activities for her birthday, God, I pray, God, that you give her long life and that she may get everything that her heart's desire. I pray, God, for the family of the Price family. God, I pray for them, God, as they celebrate this woman of God who's going on, who's in your presence. The Bible says to be absent from the body means to be in the presence of the Lord. And therefore, Father God, we thank you, God. We thank you and we magnify her life, and we thank you for her life and her legacy. Now, Father God, there may be somebody out there that don't know you in the pardon of their sins. I pray, God, right now that you would touch their minds, their hearts, that they will confess Jesus Christ as their Savior and repent and say, I repent of all my sins, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Come into my heart, come into my mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Again, thank you for this time. I pray, God, that this was encouraging to you. And if there's some questions, some concerns, give me a text, 309-750-7584. Your co-host will be back on next week. God bless. Bye-bye.